in Jesus' name. Father, we ask, O Lord, that you give us the grace to be doers of your word in Jesus' name. We are tired of hearing. We want to be doers. Father, enable each and every one of us in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father God Almighty, for in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. This morning we'll be looking at the subject, the spirit of meekness. We're going to be looking at the subject, the spirit of meekness. So we're going to be taking our Bible passage from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 20 to 21. 1 Corinthians 4, 20 to 21. It says, 1 Corinthians 4, 20 to 21. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Praise the Lord. Say, the kingdom of God is not in word, but in the demonstration of the power. He said, what do you want? Shall I come to you with rod or with love and a spirit of gentleness? It can also be taken as a spirit of meekness. So we all know it's the same thing. Either I use humble, gentleness, meekness, whatever, they are the same. It's still the same spirit of meekness. So the summary of where we have read is saying that, you know, the kingdom of God is not what we can say of it. Oh, I used to pray 24 hours before, I'm this and that, I can fast for a whole year. No, it's in demonstration and the fruit we bear. That is the summary of the passage where we have read. You know, our life should show, our life should bear, you know the mark of Christ. And we also know that meekness is one of the fruit of the Spirit, so that we wear it, people will see it in us. So it's not just talking about it. We have to, people will see it in our lives. So that is what the essence of where we have read. That is what is really telling us that, you know, the God's power will be working in our life. We humble ourselves, you know, so that the Spirit of God will be able to work in our life. And I look at the dictionary meaning of meekness. It also means to be humble, you know, to be patient, you know, and to be kind. So, and I also look further, and I look at it that meekness means to be teachable. You know, if you are meek, you will be teachable. You know, when you read the word of God, you know, it will tell you something, and you'll be meek enough to do what it says. You know, and a meek person always presents his or herself as an empty vessel unto the Lord to be filled, you know. And if we look at it, if we are meek, you know, there are some things that we not even count it anymore. Just like Apostle Paul said that, you know, there are some things that he doesn't count anymore because of the life that he's now living. So meekness is very important in our life. As a Christian, we have to, you know, possess it. It's a must in our Christian journey, because as we go, we see that if we are not meek, it will be difficult for us, you know, to take anything from God. And, you know, just like I said, meekness is one of the fruit of the Spirit. So you ask me, what about meekness? What is this, the spirit of meekness, you know? The Holy Spirit is behind the operation of the spirit of meekness, you know? Meekness is of the heart, you know? If you are meek, it will be, people will see it, but it's a thing of the heart. The Holy Spirit is the one who is the force behind the spirit of meekness. You know, the spirit of meekness is the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in our life. You know, people will see it that we are meek. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 4. It's talking about the hidden mind of the heart. 1 Peter 3, 4. If you are there before me, you can read. 1 Peter 3, 4. Praise the Lord, you know. He's talking about the hidden mind, you know. God deals with us on the basis of our hearts. He knows when we are meek, because he's the all-knowing God. So he knows when we are not, you know. There's a Yoruba adage that says some people, they may kneel down for you, but inwardly they are standing up for you. You know what that means? You know, he knows when we are meek. So that is why we have to try as much as possible to be meek, you know. It reflects in our lifestyle, you know. If we are meek, we don't need to wear it. People will see it in our lifestyle that we are meek, You know, the hidden is not, you know, we can't, the product of meekness cannot be hidden. And one thing about meekness is that we have to make effort. We have to search for it. Let's quickly look at the book of Zephaniah, chapter 2, verse 3. It's around Malachi. It's not a familiar book. Hosea, Zephaniah, chapter 2, verse 3. Praise the Lord. He said, if we are meek, that will be hidden on the day of what? Of God's anger. So that is very important. We should be meek, you know, that will be hidden on the day of joy, of the day of God's anger, you know. And we see that, just like I've said before, that we can't hide it if we are meek. We have to, you know, it will show. We have to, you know, people will see the evidence. And I look at, in the Bible, we have some positive example of meekness. We cannot talk about meekness and not talking about Moses. Let's look at the book of Numbers, chapter 12, verse 3. Numbers 12, 3. We're talking about positive examples of meekness. We're talking about the man Moses. It says, Numbers 12, 3. It says, now the man Moses was very humble, more than all men who were on the face of the earth. See, no wonder Moses was a lawgiver in their generation and even up to now, because he was so meek and humble. You know, nobody know where Moses was buried. Moses was buried by God himself because of what? Because he was meek. You know, we cannot talk about the spirit of meekness without talking about our perfect example, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. You know, let's quickly look at the book of Matthew 11:29. Positive examples of meekness. Moses, number one. Jesus Christ, our perfect example. Matthew 11:29. It says, are we all there? Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest in your soul. Look at that, is Jesus Christ, our perfect example, introducing himself. He said, I am meek and lowly. You know, no wonder, for the ministry of how many years? Ministry of 3 years. He prepared for how many years? 30 years. You know, we didn't hear in the Bible, he would go to the temple like any other person, sit there and listen to what they are saying. We did not hear him going about, oh, don't you know that I'm the one that John the Baptist have been talking about? Prophesy, Isaiah prophesies concerning me. I've come. No, he was meek. He waited patiently for his own time to come. And when his time, you know, when it was his time, you know, he did what he was supposed to, you know, to do, and God was glorified. And again, we can't talk about positive examples of meekness in the Bible without talking about John the Baptist. If you look at it in the same Matthew chapter 3:11, let's look at it. Matthew 3:11. Somebody who baptized our Lord Jesus Christ, he was meek. Positive examples of meekness. Matthew 3:11. If you are there before me, you can read. Praise the Lord. That is John the Baptist. He said, somebody is coming after me that the shoelaces, I'm not even worthy to untie. You know, that is John the Baptist. He was humble. You know, he didn't start into, oh, don't you know, I'm the one who is going to baptize the Messiah. I'm this, I'm that. That's the, he's been waiting for me. You know, he was humble. Talking about, there are a lot of positive examples of meekness in the Bible, but as we limit ourselves to these three, we can, during the week, we can have a look at some of them in the Bible ourselves. We talk about the man Moses, because there's no how we're going to talk about meekness without mentioning Moses, you know, John the Baptist, and Jesus Christ, our perfect example. We're going to look at the negative example. We're not going to be part of the statistic of the negative example in Jesus' name. We're going to look at King Saul, the first king in Israel. Let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 15. First Samuel 15:11. I want us to read 11 and 23 because of our time. 1 Samuel 15. If you are there before me, you can read. When you read, you don't forget. It's not as if somebody, you read it yourself, you know. Praise the Lord. See, I greatly regret that I've set up Saul as king. God will not regret creating us in Jesus' name. The Bible said the first, you know, talk about the first being the last, the first king in Israel, because of lack of, you know, no spirit of meekness. When God asked him to go and destroy the Amalekites, he left some things behind. And when he came, he said, oh, I left it to sacrifice to, you know, to the king. The Bible says to obey is better than sacrifice, you know. We should humble. If we are not humble, we'll not be able to even obey any authority, not even in our home. It will be impossible for us. He say, look at it. He say, I regret, you know, making Saul the king. Let's look at verse 23. The same for Samuel 15:23. That is terrible, because he has rejected the word of the Lord. So he was rejected as a king, will not be rejected in Jesus' name, you know, because of lack of the spirit of meekness. He did not carry out God's instruction. You know, meek person will be obedient. Talking about the negative example, will not be part of the statistic in Jesus' name. What about King Herod in Acts 12? Negative example of meekness. Those people who are not meek. King Herod, Acts 12, 21 to 23. Acts 12, 21 to 23. Negative examples of meekness. So on a set day, Herod, arrayed in a royal apparel, sat on his throne and gave an oration to them. And the people kept shouting, the voice of a god and not of a man. Then immediately, an angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give glory to God, and he was eaten up by worms. What a tragedy. A king, a whole king, was eaten up by worms. So we have to take it seriously. We have to be meek, because, you know, he was taking God's glory. You know, he made people, and they come, they shouting, oh, the voice of a man, you know. And he was so happy, and he took the glory. Immediately, an angel of the Lord appeared to him. And, you know, somebody, a king on his throne, was eaten up immediately. That will not be our stories in Jesus' name. You know? What about the rich fool in Luke 12? Let's quickly look at the rich fool. Luke 12, 13 to 21. It's a long one, but I want us to read it. Praise the Lord. Look at the rich fool. He has so many. Look at this. He said, oh, I'm not even going to, you know, very selfish. I'm not going to share this one. He's looking at how to, you know, some of us are like that, you know. We have things we are not able to share. You know, some of us, we don't even need it, but to give it away is a problem, you know. So they said, that very night, What a tragedy. Because he just, you know, just look at himself. Oh, I've arrived. Look at me. I'm going to store everything up. I'm not going to. And the God said, tonight is the night. That will not be our story in Jesus' name. You have had the positive, the negative. Then this, the spirit of meekness, you know, it has some benefits. You know, if we are meek, just like I've said, it has some benefits. The benefits, number one, is that it will profit us. Let's quickly look at 1 Corinthians 12, verses 6 and 7. 1 Corinthians 12, 6 and 7. I'm going to talk about the benefits of the spirit of meekness. 1 Corinthians 12, 6 and 7. Praise the Lord. We are going to focus more on the profit aspect. It is for us. We be the one to profit from it. If we are meek, it is for our benefit. It's our benefit. So we have to look at it that way. That when we possess the spirit of meekness, that is going to do us good. That is the number one benefit of it, for our own profit. Number two, we talk about supernatural blessing. Supernatural blessing. That is Matthew 5:5. It's a popular Bible verse that we should all know. Matthew 5:5. Benefits of the spirit of meekness. Matthew 5:5. Praise the Lord. He said the meek will inherit the whole earth. You know, that is your inheritance in Christ. Nobody can take it of you. If you are meek, you inherit it here. Praise the Lord. So that is why we have to really search for the spirit of meekness. Number two, divine guidance. Psalm 25:9. Psalm 25, verse 9. It says, "The humble he guides in justice, and the humble he teaches his way." You know, if we are humble, we enjoy divine guidance and we get to our high places. If we are humble, we'll be able to look at the word of God, what it says, and we take our bearing from it. That is number two profit, benefit of it. Divine guidance, it will help us to get our high places quick. Number three, unusual insight. You know, very rare that we have insight into things. Psalm 45, verses 3 and 4. Psalm 45, verses 3 and 4. Something, praise the Lord. We ride on a prosperous life. That is when we are, you know, when we are meek. Peace, that's number four. You know, we enjoy peace. Let's look at Psalm 37:11. It says, are we there? Psalm 37:11. It says, "But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." You know, the meek will have nothing to fear about because he's going to wait patiently for his or her own time. He's not going to be anxious for anything. The peace of God that passes all understanding will be the portion of anybody who is meek. Yeah? The last one, we be a fruit-bearing Christian. You know, just like we know in John 15, verses 1 to 5. I'd like us to read it at home because of our time. So we'll be bearing fruit. You know, we remember that I said before that meekness is one of the fruit of the Spirit. Then the benefit that is very, that I think I have to say is very important. You know, we have respect for constituted authorities. If we are meek, we'll not be the one to get fined for red lights. Will not be the one to get fined for overspeeding. Will not be the one to be, you know, there are, you know, those things I'm talking about. If we are meek, that one will not be in our story anymore. Because we have respect, because the Bible says that we, in Timothy, that we should obey the law of the land. And we can see everywhere that man is found, there are some things, you know, that are guiding us, even in our homes. Even everywhere, you know, there are some things that are guiding us. The Bible is telling us that we should obey them. So if we are not meek, we just look at them. That's why, you know, most of the crises that we see, I look at it, I was just thinking about it yesterday, and I look at it and say, oh, everything, you know, meekness is part of it. You know, sometimes we are not meek enough to sit down and even look at what we are doing wrong. We are not meek enough. So I just realize most of the crisis that we see, even look at everywhere, there's crisis everywhere. I even ask people, I say, where is peace now? It's because there's no, you know, we don't have respect for constituted authority. We just do what we want to do, and that is it. That will not be our story again in Jesus' name. I'm going to go to town in the last point here. You know, if we are meek, if we have the spirit of meekness, we have a godly home and marriage. As we all know, you know, the devil, our enemy, who has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy, is very hard, is out for marriages and home. And I can assure you that if we search for the spirit of meekness, you will enjoy godly home and marriage, you know. I don't know how many of us have been reading the newspaper now about 3 Saturdays. Even the government is telling us to build home, that we should pay more attention to material things, that we should build home. I know it's the government, you know, I always tell people, I say, it's the government that will make law, then they will leave us, the parents, to pick the pieces. Now they are saying that we should pay attention, more attention to our home, because they see what is happening everywhere. In school, you can't talk about God. So they are thinking, maybe it will be good if we start from home. I didn't buy the yesterday paper, but 2 Saturdays I have them. Even some of my clients, they gave it to me, because sometimes some of them, the youngest of my clients is 94, so sometimes they will ask me, what is wrong with your generation? Then I said, what? Then they'll bring the paper out, then they will start telling me story, and 90 so and so, me and my wife, this is what we did. But in your own case, you always want something now. So that is why marriage is easy. And I just look at them. Sometimes I just look at it. What they are saying is true. These people, they are not Christian. I look at them and say, well, it's true. So if we have the spirit of meekness, we are going to enjoy godly home, and our marriage will be godly. You know, God is the author of marriage and home, and he puts a manual or instruction on the way he wants these two institutions to operate. And everywhere in the world is the same thing, because the Bible we use here is the one they use in South Africa, is the one they use in Namibia, Nigeria, everywhere. The Bible is the same. So if we look at the manual, let's start from the beginning. Let's look at Genesis 2:24. I want every one of us to be there. We're talking about godly home and marriage. God is the author of marriage, and he has a set down rule, manual, about the way he wants marriage to go. Genesis 2:24. It says, therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Praise the Lord. So we can say here now, marriage is therefore spiritual, emotional, social, mental, and physical union, from where we have read. On the emotional level, you know, two hearts begin to beat at one. That is on the emotional level. Two people now, they begin to, you know, to think alike. Sometimes if I tell my husband that if something happened, I say I didn't talk. You say, even if you don't talk, I know your stand. Praise the Lord. That is two people now. Even if I'm not there, he will say, okay, he knows. And the same thing applies to him. I know if I'm not there and something happened, I know his stand. So we are looking at it from the emotional level. The two hearts begin to beat as one. Then let's look at the social level. Two living together as one, apart from marriage, What type of institution have you seen it before? Even if you have class, you share your flat with somebody, you know, to live as one. Do you know what I'm talking about? To live as one. You are true, thick, and thin. You know, as one. That is the physical level. In no other relationship can we find this type of union. Therefore, marriage then is a shared life. You know, we should not forget to, it's a shared life between the two of you. When it's, the person is hot, you too. The same thing. And it's a shared destiny. You can't separate. It's only when you are fine. I remember sometimes when I look at the marriage vow, I ask my husband, I said, did I say, did they say, for better, for worse, in sickness and in riches? They even make the Yoruba one, it's even very, how do I put it? They said, you know, everywhere that. Sometimes when people are making this oath, I weep. Because I look at it, because it's so hard. I don't know, maybe I've shared it with people before. I said, I don't know what is wrong with when people are making, because people don't keep to it anymore. That's why, because we stand in the presence of God and his people and we make this oath and we don't even stick to it anymore. So I cry. I asked my husband, I said, well, did I say this? He put the TV, he said, you said it. I said, I said, this is strong. No, it's true. I said to myself, I said, this is strong. So why am I saying this? Look at, God has a pattern how he wants marriages to work, home to work. So we should not say because of something, anything, and just drift from the law, you know, the pattern of God. Each time we do that, we always have trouble. And if we want to enjoy all these things, we have to have, you know, we have to possess the spirit of meekness. Look at it even in the house, you know, most of the crisis is because somebody is not ready to say, I'm sorry. There's nothing, it won't take anything from you, even if you are right and you say you are sorry. It doesn't, on a good day, you can make your case known. Let's look at, we are talking about God, the foundation of marriage, you know, the pattern, God's own, the way God has ordained it to be. Let's look at Ephesians 5:23. Ephesians 5:23. I'll quickly read because of our time. It says, for the husband is the head of the wife, and as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Praise the Lord. It says, for the husband is the head of the wife. Some people, they don't even want to get married, and because I speak to people, they say, oh, I don't want somebody to control me. I don't want anybody to tell me what to do. If you are in marriage, somebody will have to tell you what to do. It's not possible. How can you say you are in marriage and you don't want somebody to tell you what to do? It is impossible, can't, if there's any English like that. It's not possible. Even if you earn your own money, he will tell you what to, where to put it. Am I right? So how can you be in marriage and say somebody should not tell you what to do? This is what the Bible is saying. Yeah, be, isn't it, who's, somebody has to read it. Maybe I make it up. Who? Let somebody else read it. Ephesians 5:23. We have to walk it. Just the way we walk our own salvation, we have to walk our marriages and home. Let's look at it. Ephesians 5:23. Maybe it's not there. Praise the Lord. If God says that, then who are we to say no? We have to work it out, because that is what, the way God has ordained it. I remember maybe about 10 years ago, there's this young lady who normally comes to visit me. As soon as it's 3 o'clock, I'll be hammering it to her. I say, do you have dinner? Have you made provision for dinner? He said, oh no, auntie, I'll go home. I said, no. I'll repeat it again. Do you have provision for dinner? He said, oh, I'll go home. They said, no. I said, you see? He said, oh, I don't have, I have to go to. I said, no, I have something that you can, if you want, so that you don't give excuse. Later, this lady came and I told her one day, I said, you know what? I said, you are not working now. I said, you are at home. I said, it's not good for your husband to come back from work. And then when he come back, maybe you just call him on the phone and check and so. I said, you don't know the situation of this man coming home. He may be tired. I said, you know what he's bringing. I said to myself, I said, I made that promise. Yes, I don't know how many years, maybe about 10 years ago. I said, it won't happen to me. Wherever I am, I have to be heading home as from 5. Wherever I am. And you know, if you decide, God will make it possible. And I tell you, you won't regret it. God, it will happen. I say, I don't like a situation that I'll be saying, check the fridge and look for the microwave. And there's, I don't know, maybe there's something there. I said, I don't want it anymore. And You know, if you really decide, it will be possible. Ours is to just look at it, humble ourselves, and say, okay, this is the way I want my marriage to go. This is the way I want. And God will make it happen to you. And it will be your portion in Jesus' name. Just like I said before, I say we have to, you know, work it out. You have to do the work. And unfortunately, I'm going to be hard on my sisters. You know, I'm not trying to exonerate the men, but we have a lot to do. Yesterday, I was telling my husband, when I was looking at this message, I was looking at all the, you know, is it not the crossing sign? Each one of them, either in the school. Who did you see there? A picture of who? A picture of somebody holding a baby. Women. I told him yesterday, then he took me. Then we look at a couple. I said, God is saying something. These people that are, well, I'm sure they may not be Christian. Did you see the man, the wife, and everybody holding the baby to school? You will see a picture of a lady holding, you know, any crossing. I look at it. I said, that is why the Bible says that a wise woman built his own house. I said, look at it. I said, this is saying something. All the school signs, you know, the crossing, we see the picture of a woman holding a little baby. I said, God is telling us something. You know, a lot depends on the woman. That is where it says in Proverbs 29:15. I want all of us to be there. Let's start from Proverbs 29:15. Proverbs 29:15. A lot depends on the woman. It says, the rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself bring what? To who? Eh? Can we read it again? We are humming it. I want it to be clear and loud. Praise the Lord. That's why I say I'm going to be hard on us. We have a lot to do. We have a lot. And God is not a God of mistake. He's the author of marriage. And we can see from time to time. We can see. Even when we take our children for activities, who did you see more? In school, Uncle? We will not be put to shame concerning our children in Jesus' name. Let's look at Proverbs 14:1. Again, that's why I'm going to be hard on us. Proverbs 14:1. Praise the Lord. We need the spirit of meekness to build our home. You know? We need the spirit of meekness. You know, I remember somebody was telling me, say, hey, Sister Bumi, this land, I don't know what this land is doing to me. You know, I cannot even, when I talk to my kids, they first of all look at the mom before they respond. I say, Because it's true. That's what the person says. I say, hey. I say, well. I say, what happened? I say, I knew you before. I said, you were not like this. She said, I don't know. Because the children, they know. They are very wise. They know when there's division. They know when we don't even respect our husband. They know. They will take leave from you. I get angry with my children when anytime my husband come and they don't come out to welcome him the way I want. I always said, celebrate my husband the way I can celebrate his dad. I tell them, I say, look at Akin. Akin is always celebrating his dad. I say, celebrate him. Look at all the way he's coming from. And he comes and says, someone says, welcome, daddy. I say, come out here. Sometimes they will be on the computer. I say, go out. Praise the Lord. You know, it depends on us, and God will give us the grace to do it. It is possible. We can do it. Look at it. I don't know. Maybe it will continue. Tomorrow I will know when I get away, because these people, they always keep it for me, because I told them that I have my young kids. So they always keep those documents for me to read. You know, I don't know what they will say, because the government is even saying it now, that we should focus more, because they know. Look at everything that are happening now. We have to do the work. God is the author of marriage, and we have seen the manual. Everything that he said is the same Bible. It's the same principle. If we apply it, I can tell you, our life will never remain the same. You know, we know all those initial periods, the first how many year of marriage, you know, the first 2 years, that's where you get your beard, you get to know each other. You know, you argue a lot during those periods. But as they say, you get to a point that, this is enough. I have to be humble. Sometimes it's good to even, you know, just to prevent argument, it's good to even say, okay, I'm sorry, even if you are right. Then on a good day, you make your point known, even to the young ones. If we are not meek to even get a life partner, we'll be hard. Some of us, the people we come to, we size them out from up and they say, where is this one? Where will I start from this one? If it is the person that God is bringing, you take him. Even we say, where will I start from this one? We have to be humble. We have to. And God will help us in Jesus' name. We have to really, that's why I say I'm going to go to town, because the devil, you know, is working hard on homes. And I pray that he will not be able to destroy nor kill our home in Jesus' name. Even our children, you know, this society is very permissive. And something must give. We have to, you know, we have to be one in bringing them up. And it takes the spirit of meekness to do that. You know, we have to be humble. If not, it will not be possible. If the husband is saying one thing and the man is doing one thing, you know, there will be confusion. There will not even time to pray. And that is part of the tactics the enemy is using now. That the enemy does not even allow us to pray, because we keep on arguing about the time. Whose duty is to wake the children up? Who is to call? It's your responsibility. You know, all these things. If you are the one who wake the children up, it's just to pray. Don't lay blame. Do it. Let's build it together. And God will help us in Jesus' name. In closing, you know, we have heard about the spirit of meekness. Just like I've said before, we heard about the positive, the negative, you know. We'll not be part of the positive, the negative one in Jesus' name. And I say, just like I said before, that because this one applied to us, and we can see it, many homes, they are breaking. Marriage done in last year, even it's not here, everywhere in the world. The devil is working hard. So we are going to pray in closing. We are going to ask God to give us the spirit of meekness, so that everything that God has committed into our hand, that we have that spirit to build it, just like we had this morning, that a wise woman, we build his or her home. Let's build even our community. We have lots to build in the community. There are many people that are not even Christian over there. So let's ask for the spirit of meekness, so that we'll be able to build as God has ordained in Jesus' name.
Ask for that spirit of meekness that will help you to make a success of your life. That spirit of meekness that will help you to make a success of the call of God upon your life. Ask for the spirit of meekness that will help you to make a success of your home. Ask for the spirit of meekness so you can make a success of the upbringing of your children. What they see you do is what they are going to do. Ask for the spirit of meekness so you can inherit the earth. Ask for the spirit of meekness so you can be saved on the day of the anger of the Lord. Ask for the spirit of meekness so that the enemy will not be able to trip you over. He knows your ways. He knows your thoughts. He knows your heart. He knows when you are going to be disadvantaged. He will come in at the right time. He will help you. He will justify you. He will not allow the enemy to prevail against you, because he knows you are meek in obedience to him. Heaven will help you. The host of heaven will fight for you, because you've given the fight to the Lord. You will turn out victorious. You will turn out successful, because you have been meek as a result of the instruction from God. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.